right, guys, listen up. We need something big, something huge. We need to figure out how to make the Bible more exciting to people.
That's right. That's why we brought you guys in to brainstorm. You are essentially our panel of experts.
Our go team, our green berets, our SEAL team 6.
And go. Moses, hit me.
I'm thinking large body of water.
Ooh, I like this.
This is already good.
We get a bunch of people together, just tons and tons of people together, right?
I feel like this sounds familiar.
And then, kaboom, I divide the water in half and I let everyone walk through. That is exciting.
You're welcome. Who's hungry for lunch? Should we do Chinese? I'm thinking Chinese.
Moses, it's been done before by you. Peter, talk to me.
First off, what's all policy on cutting off people's ears, huh?
Gonna pretend I didn't hear that.
Who's next? Balaam, talk to me.
Well, I do know about this talking donkey. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? A talking donkey. I mean, no one's ever seen anything like that. I mean, like, ever.
Come on! Haven't you seen Shrek?
Hello, donkey!
Yep, my little puffy!
Guys! We need to bring out the big guns. This is the word of God we're talking about. We need to show people how exciting it is, Moses. You saw God, right?
I saw the back of him. No idea. You're gonna love this, all right? So we get this bush, right? And then, you know, everybody's walking around going, nothing crazy going on here. It's just a bush, huh? And then, kaboom! A huge fireball comes out of nowhere, and the bush is on fire.
Huh? Deja vu, Moses. Let's freshen that pot of idea coffee, shall we?
Lot, please tell me you've got something.
I got nothing.
Well, how about your wife? What's she thinking?
Tommy.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to rub salt in your wound.
Really?
I'm sorry. I just want to put all this behind us and not look back.
Let's just get back on point. Joseph, any thoughts?
Dude, what if we give a free coat of colors to everyone who reads the Bible, huh?
Good thoughts. Could get a little expensive. Moses, is this an original idea?
Does it involve using manna? Does it? Does it?
Next, King David.
Free rock slings for everyone.
Edgy, but I don't know if arming people is such a good idea. Kind of sends a conflicting message.
Okay. Is this a bad time to bring back the cutting off people's ear thing?
Yes.
You can't deny that my idea has potential.
Oh, you know a little something about denial, wouldn't you, Peter? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Okay, say we draw some water from a rock, and then...
Moses, we need to have a talk.
Yeah, you need to be quiet. Right? Take a note from Lot's wife.
Pilot, you have anything good?
I'm out, Eddie! I'm done! Wash my hands of it!
Real classy, pilot. Good teamwork.
Move out of the way, kid.
I brought you some bread and fish, sis.
Oh, it's a little boy that gave his lunch to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
We're good, kid. Thank you.
Yeah. Unless you got a good idea on how to make the Bible more exciting.
Yeah, you got anything for us?
Well, I was just thinking that I can't think of a more exciting book than the Bible. I mean, it's got action, adventure, and romance, and the greatest hero story in the history of literature. And on top of all that, it's the Word of God. God uses the Bible to actually communicate to us. What's more exciting than that? Oh, and one more thing. God bless us, everyone.
Yeah. I was gonna say that. Hey, are you the dudes who validate parking, or do I have to talk to somebody else?
Wonderful. That was the skit, guys, with Bible Brainstorm. And I hope you enjoyed that video. Up, we've got Jill. So let's invite Jill up. Let's give her an encouragement. Yes, there is something missing. So I'm going to give you the microphone and I'm going to grab it.
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. Another sunny Sunday in August. Isn't it great? So we're partway through our... Thank you. We're partway through our series, as has been explained. So during August, we're looking at how we can make significant steps forward in our walk with God, our personal walks with God. And today, the step we're looking at is discovering our Bibles, which that was a great lead-in, I think. How to enjoy, appreciate, and engage with our Bibles. How to step into God's promises and direction for our lives. So I love this concept. So stepping into the Bible, that idea, I think is great. If only we could step right into the Bible, wouldn't you love that? The senses, engage and activate the senses. It's when I would most like to make use of a time machine. So I could jump right into the TARDIS or maybe the DeLorean and go back and experience firsthand the stories of the Bible. That would make all the difference. To see, smell, taste, feel, and touch the reality of the Bible. Yeah. A fully immersive experience. So that's what comes to mind when I think of stepping into the Bible. So like those frameless art exhibitions. Has anyone been to one of them? Monet, Van Gogh, I think, where you walk into a room and these old masters are projected onto the walls and the ceiling and you just can be transported into an artistic world. Has anyone been to one of those? Do you know what I mean? They're quite expensive though, aren't they? So I haven't been. The best I've experienced is just by Tottenham Court Road tube station, right opposite, there's an advertising installation, which is quite similar, I guess, to that, where you can just wander in for free and sit a while and soak up the atmosphere. And all of this is going on around you and above you, and it's quite breathtaking. So that kind of thing, mesmerising, if we could experience the Bible like that, it would really come alive, wouldn't it? If we could have that experience where we can sense and touch and taste what went in the Bible. So just for a minute, I want us to imagine the Bible as the sea, okay? I want you to think that the Bible is the sea, because we're talking about stepping in, right? So we're going to step in to the sea. And I recently went to the beach. I went to the mighty Skegness. Have we got any lovers of Skegness here? Oh, you're all a very cultured bunch. But no, Skegness is great. Okay, so the picture shows my granddaughter. So I took my granddaughter to Skegness, and it features miles of sandy beach with all sorts of what you would expect to see at the seaside, donkeys, and just a lot of fun to have. And I watched her running into the sea, running back out again, and loving every moment of it. She was having the time of her life. Now, I don't think she got in more than above her ankle depth in the water. The waves were coming back and she was running backwards and forwards. She was just loving every moment of it. There were people that were right in the water in that chilly North Sea, swimming, jumping over the waves, also loving their time there. And I have to say, I love the sea as well. So I want us to consider the Bible like the sea. So I'm going to ask you to step right in and take that next step, whatever that looks like for you, into the Word of God. Be more intentional about that. So you might say, hey, Jill, I'm in. I'm already in there. I took that step a long time ago. Great. If that's the case for you, how then can you explore a bit deeper and look with fresh wonder at what is lying under the surface of that? Or you might say, Jill, I'm thinking about taking my first paddle, but I'm really not sure if it's going to be a bit cold. Just keep listening. So there's many ways, there's as many ways as there are people for how you can step into the Bible. Taking a step today will look different for everyone. We're all gloriously different, aren't we? And that's the way God loves it. That's the way he made us to be. So let's consider, each of us, what taking that next step looks like for us. There's really no substitute for taking that step and experiencing that immersion. Sometimes we can listen to preachers, can't we, that really set the scene and give us the background to the Bible story and help us to feel immersed in the world of the Bible. Some of them are really good at that, but I would say that there's no substitute, no comparison to you immersing yourself in the Bible and learning how to do that for yourself. Getting to grips with the Bible for yourself can't be beaten. So there's a great model in the Bible for full immersion, and that was given to the nation of Israel when they first received the law. The Ten Commandments were given to them, and then they were shown how to respond to these Ten Commandments. It's in Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9. I can't see it that way, so do you mind if I just turn this way and read it out to you? It says, "You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hand and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house or your gates." How about that for some ideas of how you can immerse yourself in the Bible? A bit strange, a bit different, but great ideas. Some suggestions that you might want to use, or some of your own. I just thought that was a really good example of how to completely immerse yourself in the Bible, which is what God intended for Israel when he gave them the law. He wanted them to absorb it fully. Now, as an undergraduate student of psychology, I'm coming to the end of my degree and I've now got to choose a research project. I'm a bit excited and a bit terrified. So I've got to choose between quantitative, which is experiments, numbers, and statistical analysis, or I can choose qualitative, which will involve close scrutiny of textual data to bring out the meaning, so from an interview with someone or a focus group. Now, preferring quality over quantity, and because I'm really not keen on statistics, I'm likely to opt for the textual analysis. So step one of this method, are you still with me? Step one of textual analysis is to immerse yourself in the data. So what they want you to do is listen to it over and over and over again and read it and absorb it and live that data. So whoever I end up interviewing, it might be you, I'm going to listen to it over and over again until I really get the meaning of what you were trying to tell me. So I've got this skill already. Easy, job done. For years, I've been doing this with the Bible, so it's just the same kind of thing. I'm thinking I just need to immerse myself in that. So that's still to come. Yeah, immerse yourself completely in the Bible. You won't really grasp what the text is saying. Oh, now I can see it. Thank you. You won't really grasp what the text is saying until you step right in for yourself and experience this full immersion. So as I've said, this is going to look different for each of us. So we start where we are. We don't bite off more than we can chew. A deep dive might be right for some people. And just to put your toe in and just have a little feel with the water, like my granddaughter was doing, that might be the relevant stage for others. Whatever it is, it's going to be such a blessing. So I want to look at the why, the how, and the when of how we step into the Bible, okay? And I'm going to use the passage that our Bible verse for today is taken from as my basis for answering this question. So you might want to turn to Psalm 119 in your Bible. You can't beat the real printed Bible, can you? So if you turn right to the very middle of the Bible, it's kind of easy to find the Psalms. So split the Bible in two and you'll be there. So Psalm 119. If you've got a Bible, open it up or open your app, because we can access the Bible in all sorts of ways now, can't we? So let me tell you a bit about Psalm 119 firstly, because it's a great psalm. There's some fascinating facts about this psalm. Number one, it's the longest psalm in the Book of Psalms. It's got a whopping 176 verses. So that's the first thing to tell you about that psalm. So it's going to go over several pages of your Bible. The next thing to say is, it's next door but one to the shortest psalm in the Bible. So if you've got three chapters to read that day, you'll probably be lucky to get those two and the one in between, because they might balance out. Psalm 117 has only got two verses. So yeah, that's a place to start if you don't want to read a big psalm. The next thing to say about this psalm is that it's an acrostic poem. And what that means is each section is split into sections, and each section of the psalm starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So you can see how each part has got a title, and that's one of the words of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's poetry in our Bible for us to read and enjoy. And the last thing to say about this psalm is that it's all about the Bible. So the whole psalm is talking about how we relate to the Bible, how we engage with the Bible, how we understand it, how we obey it. If you have a quick scan, you'll see that the Bible, the word Bible isn't used, but they do use lots of other words to refer to the Bible. So we've got promises, decrees, laws, commandments, regulations, the word, and instructions. So this is a great book, a great chapter to look at if we're going to understand what reading the Bible is all about. A great place to start. So the how, the when, and the why. Start with why. Why should we read the Bible? Okay. So our memory verse is a good place to start, isn't it? The Bible is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It guides us along God's way for our lives. It's a manual for how to live, how to get to know God. So that's the first thing to say. And then I found lots of other examples of reasons to step into the Bible, and here they are. It teaches us how to stay pure, how to find happiness, how to discern what really matters, how to know and walk in freedom, how to find comfort in troubles. It's a source of hope, it's a source of joy, it's a source of wisdom, and ultimately, it's life. So enough said. I mean, that chapter is just amazing to say that the Bible gives us all of those things, and it is all of those things. That is the how. That is the why of why to step into the Bible. Life. I think the thing that really stood out to me was that the Bible is life. The Bible is the key. It explains the key to life and how to live. This is crucially how spending time reading God's word is so different from other materials that we might want to spend our time reading. We focus on a lot of things, don't we? There's a lot of information coming at us all the time. And we can constantly, any time of the night or day now, access and consume news online through apps and social media, right? And this, I've heard this term used for what we might be doing when we're reading this as doom scrolling. Have you heard of that? Or doom surfing? So this is the compulsive and excessive scrolling through disheartening and distressing content to negatively impact our mental health. And it's called doom for a reason. They use that word for a reason. It saps the life out of us. This is how it's so different from the Bible. It saps the life out and it sucks our positivity. Here is some advice, because I looked up what is doom scrolling and he wanted to give me advice on how to break the habit, because it is a habit. And, you know, I guess most of us will have experienced that. So here's some quick advice. Be aware. So first of all, you need to recognise that it's a problem. Be aware. Set time limits. So somewhere even said, oh, you know, an hour, that's probably enough to be reading the doom news that's out there. Turn off your notifications and instead seek out something positive and uplifting. What could that be? Aha. We know the answer to that, don't we? So the Bible, by contrast, it has its fair share of gritty stories, doesn't it? As the two skit guys told us, you know, there's lots going on in the Bible. So it's full of action and it's gritty and it's even grisly in places. But it's also the key to life and light. It's mind health, it's mental health, and it's spiritual health is found in the pages of our Bible. And I'd like to call it hope scrolling. So instead of doom scrolling, how about try hope scrolling, i.e. Bible reading. We do love social media. Do we all love social media? Love it or hate it? So I've got a nod from Alex there. Yeah, so there is some positives about social media. When I first made a profile 15 years ago, social media's been around for a while now, it enabled me to meet up with two school friends that I hadn't seen for a few decades and get in touch with some friends. So yeah, it's got some good parts to it. It's got some advantages. But largely, from a personal point of view, I find it's draining. It kind of drains the spirituality out of me. The only way to compensate that for that is to replace it with the Word of God, which is living and active and powerful. Amen. So how do we step into the Bible? So this is the next question. How do we step into the Bible? Again, I found some answers in Psalm 119, but don't forget Deuteronomy 6. So there were lots of things there, weren't there, that we could do to be more aware and to immerse ourselves in the Bible. But this is what Psalm 119 was giving me. To search, to learn, to hide the words in your heart, to recite aloud, to study, to reflect, to meditate, and to devote yourself. So lots of good suggestions there. Searching, maybe that's a bit like browsing. You know, sometimes we just have a flick through the Bible and things jump out, and it's just a great place to go for that hope that we all need. So that's a how-to of how do we step into the Bible. And I got that just from the first 50 verses. Remember, there's 176 verses, so there's probably some other ideas in there as well, or there might be just repeats. But the first 50 verses of that psalm gave me all those pointers. Does this seem a bit like a tall order, what I'm asking? If it seems like a bit of a tall order, remember, the psalm is a cry to God. So the Psalm 119 is the crying out to God, the psalmist, is asking for help to understand and to obey God's word. So this is where we start. We achieve this firstly by praying, by asking God. You're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit interprets the word. No, it's living and active, as I've said. So one day you might read something that you read before, but this day it really speaks to you because it's alive. It's alive with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. Also, connect groups. They're a great place for just chatting to people, rubbing shoulders with other Christians and talking about what the Bible means, expounding and exploring the meaning of the Bible. And there's some excellent books out there. There's some really good books. We've got so much help. And apps, of course. Now, you can listen to the Bible being read out to you now, can't you? You can listen to the whole Bible. I don't know how many hours that would take. But you can listen to the Bible being read out to you. That's something that's really great. You can drive and have the Bible speaking to you. You know, there's so many ways that we can read the Bible, and you can get daily devotional apps. There's so much. So last but not least, when do we study the Bible? Aha! When should we do this? Now, I'd like to say as often as we can, because at the end of the day, that is the best approach. You know, whenever you can. But this is what the psalm says. Verse 55 at night, verse 62 at midnight, and then it goes on through the night, and then early, before the sun is up, all day long, always, and if you're really still not sure, the last one was continually. So there you go. That's just some pointers. You know, it's different for everyone, like I said before. It might work for you in the morning, it might work for you in the evening, it might work for you when you're standing in the queue for something. But yeah, it's there and it's available. We can look at it whenever or even always. Whatever works for you. It's just about connecting, isn't it? God wants to connect with you through his word. He wants you to win. He wants us to win. He wants us to hear. This is a gift. He's given us a gift that we can hear from him through the pages of his word, which is alive and active. So there's been some good news reports. I don't know if you've picked up on this. The good news is that Gen Z, are returning to church. Praise God. So this is ages 16 to 24 are coming back to the church. they are having a spiritual awakening. It's been called the Quiet Revival. It's happening. You know, it is there. And what they're doing is they're looking for meaning and purpose that goes beyond what the secular world can offer. They're looking for a deeper meaning. And the sale of Bibles is also increasing. There's a huge rise in the sale of printed Bibles. And this is because they're onto something. They believe that there's more to find out, that life, you know, needs more exploration, and that's where they're going. It's first-time buyers that are now buying Bibles, and they're onto something. Immersion in God's Word, the Bible, it enables us to see the world through God's eyes. With the Bible, He illuminates our way, and we see brighter and clearer the way ahead of us. We can step forward with assurance and confidence. Do you know, it's the key to strengthening and deepening your personal walk with God. I think it's a secret weapon. For me, it made all the difference. Connecting with the Bible and really knowing how to apply it to my life, how it works for me, made all the difference to me sustaining my life as a Christian and continuing to grow as a Christian. So it's something that we need to learn for ourselves. Put yourself in there, full immersion. What a gift. Let me encourage you to take your next step today, however that looks for you. And I'm now going to close in prayer, so I'm coming into land, Isaac. Thank you, Lord, for your gift, the Bible. We're so grateful, Lord, but we do admit that we don't step in as often as we should. And we know that there's so much more that we can learn. We can immerse ourselves in the wonderful truths that we can find in the Bible. Help us to learn how to do hope scrolling. And Lord, maybe turn away from other things that we spend our time occupied by. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just encourage us to find that passion that the young people of our country are recognizing, that there's more to learn about life and it's found in the pages of the Bible. We thank you, Lord, once again for your wonderful gift and your love for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.